GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. The Spin Doctors are on your radio here in the Newsmakers Hour. George, the Democratic operative, super busy with his own business, with his kids right now, but taking time to talk with us, is online too. You want to welcome him back to GHRT?
As always, John Watchworth, nice to have you on board this morning.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
The Republican with ties to the state of Maine is Brent Littlefield, and he joins us as well. Brent, welcome back to GHRT.
Good morning, guys, and all the listeners this morning.
Let's start in Boulder, Colorado, if we could, on Sunday. And now prosecutors are charging Mohammed Solomon with a hate crime and 16 counts of attempted murder for using a makeshift flamethrower and Molotov cocktails. 12 individuals injured, including a Holocaust survivor. Solomon, according to prosecutors, planning this for a year and expressing intentions to, quoting here, kill all Zionist people. Brent, going to start with you on this one. Brent, what have we become?
Well, it's clearly this guy is disturbed. I guess the reports are he should not have been in this country in the first place. And, you know, this is unfortunately a really terrible act. And I know we all join together that there should not be any political violence in this country. It needs to come to an end. And these attacks, these anti-Semitic attacks need to end. It's really gotten completely out of control. And I read an interesting article yesterday by a writer who's actually very well known for talking about anti-woke stuff, who said there's a concern across the country on the far right and the far left in terms of anti-Semitic behavior, and kind of shot out a warning sign and a warning signal that everybody needs to be paying attention to this. Look, there's no place for political violence. The reason why democracies work as well as they do is that you can settle your differences in elections. You fight it out all day. Someone wins, someone loses. You got to suck it up and go back to the next fight and push for what you believe in. And that's the way you solve problems. This is a terrible attack. It's horrific. And quite frankly, I think we all move on too quickly from these things and don't recognize them and talk about the need to put an end to this stuff.
John, we're divided. Do we need to be violent, though?
Of course not. I mean, it's look, this guy ought to be just thrown away, locked up and thrown away the key. There's no more questions about it. But, you know, it's there's no grander message here. The guy showed up with firebombs and a flamethrower. There's nothing about being divided here. This guy's just a monster, and he needs to be removed from planet Earth.
The problem is that we have these incidents and then we kind of walk away from them. Despite all of these efforts, the numbers are astounding, the anti-Semitic attacks across America and across the world. Social media amplification, political polarization, we can go on and on. In the past, religious communities, schools, even TV shows help create some kind of a national identity. That's not going on. Hate isn't new. Brent, has been part of our human society for centuries. What's different now is how quickly it spreads.
I agree, and partially that's a result of social media because it's so easy for this stuff to spread and for misinformation to spread. You know, the fact that this guy yelled "Free Palestine" when he did it is clear that he had a political motive attached to what he was doing. And, you know, I do think it's important to speak out against this stuff and say that, you know, there's no place for this stuff in this country. And we need to be on guard for it, right? I mean, it is completely out of control. By the way, he did show up in this country. He did file for asylum. He's, you know, and then he takes this action on our soil. And we need to call it out and say that, you know, this stuff can't happen. And you know, people that have these kinds of views, they don't, you know, that violence is a solution to a problem. They need to be found, and they shouldn't be here.
John, the same to you. Social media amplification. But many societies, including the United States, have extreme political division. Have we crossed over the line?
oh, we crossed over the line a while ago. I mean, come on. Well, we had to unite the right, remember, with the very fine people on both sides crap. I mean, and they were marching down Charlottesville saying Jews will not replace us. This shouldn't surprise anybody. It's been going on forever. You know, and then a monster found a reason in his own mind to do something horrific. I mean, I that's the thing, guys. I'm not surprised. If anything, I'm surprised we don't see more of it. I mean, come on, if you want to, first of all, it's not political violence. This was racial violence, okay? But I'm surprised we don't see more political violence. We saw an entire riot try to invade the Capitol on January 6th. We've seen plenty of more political violence in the last 8 years than I've seen in my entire life. I wish I could say this shocked me, but it doesn't.
Before we pivot to another subject, let's look for a solution then. Whether it's the BLM riots, whether it's January 6th, whether it's what's occurred in Boulder, Colorado, John, to you first. How do we stop this from happening before it begins?
Tone down the rhetoric. Seriously, guys, I mean, it's this one's actually kind of easy. You know what? Stop calling people enemies of the state. But and leadership has got to do this first. I see too much of it. And I mean, look, it starts with the White House, with his terrible people and you know, the way he insults and you know, demands that you know, his followers, you know, continue to fight and exhorts violence. I mean, you can't tell me that the man holding the bully pulpit doesn't have an effect on this. He does. He absolutely does. And it bleeds down. It does. It starts at the top and it works its way to here. And then, you know, just stop thinking that everybody's your enemy. Not all Democrats are commies. All right. You know, just dial it back a little bit.
And Brent, I'll ask you the same. How do we stop it? How do we stem it before it happens again?
Well, I think we need to speak out against it. I mean, a concern I have is, like, you know, John just went through a whole litany of things that basically is upset with the other side about, or he described to the other side, but said we need to all tone it down. I mean, again, there are all kinds of incidences here. I don't think it relates to Trump or Trump derangement syndrome. You know, you have Chuck Schumer attacking Supreme Court justices and threatening them out in front of the Supreme Court. You have, you know, government institutions attacking Americans and spying on them because they didn't like their political beliefs. You go all the way back to the Obama administration when they tried to create an entire agency to basically shut down conservative talk radio. So, look, you know,
there's no question, here we go again,
filibustering so the other side can't talk. So, look, it's the idea here is that it does need to be toned down. We do need to speak out against it, and that they're having political violence or racial violence or any kind of violence to solve a problem is not a solution. You know, one of the saddest things I've ever seen is, you know, Washington D.C. get boarded up or chain link fenced up in a way you really don't want to see your Capitol look. I've seen it happen multiple times for lots of different reasons, for all different protest type marches. You know, I think we need to tone it down, go back to, you know, arguing things out in elections, having debates, whether it's your local school board or city council or all the way up to federal office, have the debates, have the discussions, and then, you know, continue to fight for the issues that you believe in. Yes, you can use the word fight. That doesn't mean it's physical fighting. We all know that there's different uses for words. And then go on to the next election. That's the way that democracies are supposed to function. And it worked great. Worked great in this country for a long time. And that's what we need to get back to.
Well, let's put the word tariff back into the news again today. U.S. and China tariff talks. Brent, we'll start with you. Any progress that you can note?
No, I think that the Trump administration has become frustrated with this pace. I know that there was an announcement this morning about a deadline for people to get basically their best offers in. I think as a business guy and approaching government with the lens of business, which is the way that President Trump's approached this process, he's incredibly frustrated by the court action over some of, remember, you know, the media kind of misplaced this a little bit over some of his tariff policies. It didn't impact all of them because I think he viewed that as undermining his negotiating ability and basically making the country look weak to other countries around the world right in the middle of negotiations. So I think he's incredibly frustrated with that. And of course, the president relies upon his legal team for the pieces of these different tariffs. So there's going to be some push and pull there. But at the end of the day, are we in a different trading posture with the other countries? Yes. As all of this just massive amount of media coverage of supposed future doom and gloom taking place, no. The economy is not in the drink like was predicted by all of the different commentators. Things are the stock market has rebounded. Inflation is low. Consumer sentiment is not 100% negative. So we're in the middle of a transition phase here right now, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see how this stuff plays out. But I know that there's incredible frustration from the White House side, I believe, from the fact that the courts made the ruling they did on even a piece of the tariffs, because of course the international news is going to cover it the same way. And I think there's concern that it looks like it undermines our position right in the middle of negotiations.
John, the Geneva truce and subsequent friction from that in May, the U.S. and China agreed to a 90-day tariff suspension. That's questionable. But there was a phone call scheduled. President Trump scheduled to speak with the Chinese president. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to occur. Can this one-on-one call resolve the disputes over China's export controls and the broader trade relationships between the two countries?
No, I mean, look, he's announced tariffs, then he gets rid of them, then he announced more, then he gets rid of them. And look, businesses cannot live with that kind of level of insecurity. So what we're seeing are all the stages of what comes before the crash. There are empty ships showing up at ports on the West Coast. When they show up, we've had some days with no arrivals at all. Some companies are now hoarding products because they know that the big rise is going to be coming. And even if it never comes, because it keeps bouncing back and forth, businesses can't plan like this. They can't make long-term plans. This is it's ridiculous. The stock market is not rebounded. It's still lower than when he got into office. Consumer confidence ain't great. Inflation is on the rise. Gas prices are certainly up. These are all, you know, it's the economy doesn't crash in 3 months, but it will bottom out, believe me. But you know, the proof's in the pudding. You know, let's see where we are in 6 months. But I would like to ask, what agency was set up to take down talk radio, Brent? Because that sounds like you're wearing a tinfoil hat and thinking that they're listening to you.
Brent, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that one.
It was a big, big push back in the Obama era, big news stories. It wasn't set up. It was proposed to create this kind of neutrality, basically commission or organization to kind of look at that radio. And we saw the same thing take place, but in real time under the Biden administration, where the White House directly pressured Facebook and other organizations to take down content they didn't like. So it has always been on the left, the use of heavy-handed government to try to control
what's the name of this agency?
It was widely talked about. It was widely written about. It was pushed back on in the Obama administration, popped back up.
How was it widely written about and talked about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Watching MSNBC.
Well, hang on. Was it the 2019 talk of the fairness doctrine and changing or adjusting the level of enforcement of it?
That's correct.
Well, you didn't say the fairness doctrine, which is an existing law. You said there was an agency set up,
and it was prior to 2019. It was back in like 2009 and 2010. So again, Look, the reality is that there's been problems all the way around.
this goes back to our whole conversation, great conversation, by the way, that we need to downplay the use of violence, the use of aggressiveness. We're back off terrorists now, back to violence. Tone down the Trump derangement syndrome, tone down all the hyperbole around this, and go back to focusing on issues.
Okay, see,
and real
okay.
debates
this
on
is,
issues.
This is okay. You want to know what pisses us off, Brent? It's not Trump derangement syndrome to disagree with a guy who blatantly lies about us. Not Trump derangement syndrome to say this guy broke the law, and it's not Trump derangement syndrome to say we don't like where this is going. That's called democracy. And every time you minimize someone's statement by saying you got Trump derangement syndrome, you just sound like a jackass.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.